Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, friends. I am pleased to introduce our next guest. He is Rhett Bray with Beacon Path. And Rhett, are you there?
Yes, I am. Well, thank you.
Rhett, before we get into what your business does, we always like to start with giving our listeners a sense of who you are and what path you've been on to get to Beacon Path. What's your background?
I started in the insurance business in 1985 with New York Life as a life and disability agent. Then in the early 90s, I went to work with a subsidiary of Pacificare, now known as United Healthcare, and then FHP, which was the model of HMOs that was started by Dr. Gumbiner back in 72. And in 1997, we left FHP. Actually, they were acquired by Pacificare. And then I started, at that time, what was Beacon Path in the employee benefits field.
So what is Beacon Path? Tell us a little bit about what you do and who you work with.
Well, we're an employee benefits broker. So we work with medium-sized companies with their group medical, dental, life, disability, voluntary programs. As we look to design those plans around the needs for their employees and what they're trying to accomplish in benefits, and in this day and age, really how they can control the cost now and in the future.
Typically, when does a business owner call you? Is there a particular sign when they say, hey, we need to call someone, and Beacon Path looks like a good alternative?
Well, with healthcare reform, it seems like the good time seems to be at any time. There's a lot of questions out there about how healthcare reform is going to affect a small and medium-sized business. There's questions on pricing, on the affordability of this. There's questions on the new kind of plan designs. There's a lot of information out there, news we continue to hear in regards to plans that are being canceled and new plans that have to be written and the requirements that have to be met. So any time is really a good time that we find companies are looking at 2014 and wondering, how is this going to affect us? What kind of costs are we going to be taking a look at? The big question seems to be is how do we address these issues in the future to kind of watch and control the costs?
What does the future look like for healthcare reform?
Well, I'm pretty sure this is that it's not going to get rescinded. We hear a lot about that. And the two things that I believe in our industry, I think believe this pretty much too, is that healthcare reform we've needed. Just take a look at the past 5-10 years as the cost, an escalating cost. There's just no way that companies or individuals can continue to keep pace with where costs have gone. This bill is a strange bill. It wasn't written too well. I don't know of too many businesses that would sign a contract and say, we'll figure it out after we read it. It will be with us. It is going to make a lot of changes over the next year or two. And that's what I think that we're going to see, is we're just starting to see this bill come to its realization. Since 2010, we've just listened and had a lot of talk. But now with the majority of this bill going into effect with the mandates for 2014, small mandates for the small employer groups and individuals, we're really starting to get a better understanding of what it can do and the issues we really have to address.
And who's is there anybody that's not going to be feeling the impact of this Affordable Care Act?
Great question, and the answer really is no. There are taxations that now will be pushed to every insurance company and carrier and actually business out there in 2014. So to pay for this health care bill being pushed on to the insurance companies, or those are being passed on to individuals. So everybody will be affected by that. Some a little bit more than others. Fully insured programs will be addressed a little bit differently than self-funded, but no one really will be able to escape the costs and the directions we're going.
And the way I understand it is business owners have to come into compliance with this either by the first of the year or when their medical insurance renews, if it's in 2014 sometimes. Is that correct, or
You're correct. 2014, January 1, the mandate's go into effect. There's been some adjustments by the president here in the last 6 months. One of the mandates that was biggest was pay or play for businesses that had 50 or more employees, and the penalties that they would face if they didn't have a program in place and deemed affordable. That has now been waived for the first year for 2014, so it takes the penalty scheme away from that. But there's issues that everybody will address. Small businesses have a little bit of a different break than the larger businesses, and those sometimes, as you asked earlier, questions, a business with less than 50 employees may wonder, do we have penalties that we might have to face? What if we don't offer a coverage? If we do offer coverage, is it deemed affordable or not? Do we have to deal with those? And those answers are different than if you have more than 50 employees and part of the law that you have to address, and then how you address that to minimize any taxation or penalties you might have.
So what are some of the questions? What are the big questions that you're getting from your clients right now? You guys must be really busy getting a lot of feedback on this.
Well, there are a lot of questions. The one that's always been around, everybody first asks about cost. You know, how's the cost? Is it going to affect us? Are the rates going to go up? And the answer to that is they are. There's just no getting around that. And for this reason, health care reform did not address the root and underlying cost issues that we have in health care. Health care reform thinks through competition that they can squeeze companies and reduce their bottom lines. And there are some reductions that we've seen over the last couple of years. But the question gets to be, are our rates going to go up and our costs going to go up? And the answer is yes, unless you start to address the core issues there. And those core issues really are issues that have to do with where our cost drivers are. They want to know, is that how the plans are, the plan designs we have, are they changing? And that's pretty much yes. We have these new metal plans that the government put in place, the bronze, silver, gold and platinum, that have to be addressed by all individuals and small businesses. And then there's the way that the government and the exchanges have looked to address costs by reducing networks, smaller networks out there, increasing co-insurances and co-pays, higher out-of-pocket maximums. It's really the attempt that we've watched insurance companies and the programs over the last 5 or 10 years is they do cost shifting. You shift more of the cost over to the employees. You bring the insurance company in a little bit later, and they can bring you a lower premium dollar. But that really has never addressed the cost. So the questions really do come, you know, price and how do we address it? Can we get a handle on it? And what can we do to kind of be more efficient? Is there any possibility out there under new healthcare reform?
Great information. Friends, we're talking with Rhett Bray of Beacon Path. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to ask him to share a few real-life stories and tips, ideas, and precautions so that you can use and be well-planned. At Beacon Path, we bring a new and sustainable approach to the cost of your health insurance. No longer will you be held hostage by the insurance company's pricing practice. You can be in control of your own destiny. Talk to us about how we can help you identify, reduce, and manage your future costs to a measurable bottom line success. Call Rhett Bray at 949-716-9099. That's 949-716-9099.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel with The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
All right, and after you get your sellability score, come back and listen to the rest of this interview as we're talking about, this seems to be the number one topic in everybody's mind, the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, welcome back, friends. Just a quick reminder before we get back to Rhett that to hear highlights of this interview and to listen to all of the shared wisdom of our past guests, please visit us online at exitcoachradio.com. I'm talking with Rhett Bray of Beacon Path, and before the break, we talked a lot about the Affordable Care Act and its impact on businesses. But Rhett, you work with businesses in a wide array of benefits besides the Affordable Care Act and health insurance, correct?
That's correct.
So one question that we talked about, you talked about good planning is very critical for a good bottom line. And what do you mean by that?
Is the difference that we face now moving forward with healthcare versus the past is that in the past years, every year, companies would wait 60 to 90 days prior to their renewal and then wonder what increases they might look at, what the insurance company might address or changing their plan designs, and then hope that they could beat up their current carrier for them to reduce their rates, or you go out to the market and through market competition see if you can reduce costs, and you go year to year thinking and hoping that you're getting a control on costs. And that is not going to be the way that we'll win this war as we move into the future. Is you need to look forward to probably a 3 or 4 year kind of strategic plan, which encompasses a number of different things. We talk a lot about wellness, but the key to wellness is a healthier group, a healthier person does not have as much needs for their doctor or medical needs. And with the lower needs for medical needs, the same doctor is to reduce our costs. So we need to start taking a look at our employees, taking a look at their well-being and their wellness. We need to start to understand better is the data. We talk about the claims information. What is really the true cost that your employees have for the medical needs they need? And without getting too technical, most companies are what we call as pools. They are in a pool with hundreds of other companies, and then everybody pays an average premium. So if you're a healthy company, you're paying premiums higher than you really need to because you need to subsidize the unhealthy. So we really like the idea of being able to collect data, either through self-funding or some kind of hybrid self-funding, so you actually understand how your people utilize their plan, where their costs are. You can start to identify what we know as high-cost risks and where our cost drivers are. And just like a P&L, you get to understand where you spend your money, why are we either in budget or out of budget, and then you can start to take action to reduce those costs, bring better programs to the table, and communicate better on to your employees that we're all in this boat together.
Well put. So what are some of the common planning mistakes that businesses make when they're planning out their employee benefits program?
Well, in the last several years, we've heard a lot about these health savings account, health reimbursement accounts, high deductible, consumer-driven high deductible programs, which is we have higher deductibles that we offer our employees, which allows the insurance company to reduce their premiums, and we think we've addressed costs. And we've never addressed costs. All we've done is cost shift. So that is a mistake that many companies take a look at and they do, and they wonder at some point in time why the rates continue to go up because they've never addressed really where the cost factors are. We do cost shifting, which is our plan designs. We put more costs onto our employees to help reduce our employers' costs. These new defined contribution programs, big on the East Coast, and they'll start to be talked about now because of guaranteed issuing for all health care in small group, large group, or individuals, where an employer will, with a budget, say, we're going to allocate X amount of money for each one of our employees, and then they can go into the pot and buy their medical, life, disability, dental programs. So we try to push for them to be better consumers without educating them on how they become better consumers. And at some point in time, you either strip down your benefit program so it really is nothing that's attractive to employees, bring your new ones in or holding on to your better ones. And from an employer standpoint, it's like, well, it fits within my budget, but now it's turned out to be something that doesn't have too much value. So there's the way we've done it in the past is just no way that we're going to win a battle moving into the future.
Yeah, there's a big balancing act between being an attractive employer and paying for all of these benefits and keeping your bottom line safe. And it's a very difficult situation. So people really need someone like you to come in and say, look, we could cut it up this way or we could cut it up that way. Let's look at a lot of different options and find a happy medium that everybody can live with. Is that fair to say what you do?
Absolutely. Every company is different. Their makeup's different. What they're motivated by is different. And what they're trying to accomplish is different. So it's not one size fits all anymore. So really, a good broker, and I think we are, but there's other good brokers out there too. But you want to have a good relationship with them and listen to all the alternatives that are out there, how they will affect you from a benefit standpoint, how they can affect your bottom line. For larger companies, these things don't turn, you know, in the first year, but you start to process, you start to manage, you start to measure, and then you start to adjust. And as time goes on, you're able to find it. Bring yourself into a position where you have a better understanding where your costs are. Now you get to be able to manage your costs, which most companies can at this present time. And then it helps you start to reduce them and maintain a level presence of dollars and cents, which really directly goes to your bottom line, can increase your bottom line without having to direct or bring in more revenue.
Excellent. So could you give us an example of a recent client you helped? What was their situation before you came on the scene, and how did you help them?
Well, we do. We have one that's as a good-sized company, about 150, 160 employees, and we have them in a program that allows us to take a look at their claims data. So at the end of the year, as we were moving into the renewal, is that we were told by the insurance company that they wanted to offer them an 18% increase, and we didn't think this was at all fair, and the business says these are just unsustainable dollars and cents. We're able to collect information and claims information from the insurance carrier to identify really what their true costs were, identified what we call as a shock loss claim, is a high claim that comes in, but the prognosis is everybody's fine after they have the incident. There's a large expenditure of dollars and cents, and once we identified that, we went back and talked to underwriting and said this we want discounted out because you're not going to see an issue with this as we move forward. This bill is done and fine. Mom and baby are doing well. And then we take that information out to the other carriers and explain to them, too, is that though their claims indicates these high claims for this last year, when we meet this discount out and take a look at it truly from the data, is that the other carriers come in with a much more attractive rate. And we moved this increase from 18% down to 2%. And all parties were fine. Insurance company understood that they can't just blatantly come out and give us a number and think that we'll accept it. And on the side for our client is that they were very happy. I mean, that was a big difference in dollars and cents. But the reality is we understand where our claims are, and we don't feel that we should be billed for this as it happened. That's why we buy insurance. So that was a nice success for us, and we continue to work with the same client in this self-funded arena.
So you really helped them to demystify what was going on in their overall situation and help them to understand now that moving forward they have some kind of a benchmark that they can work for and they're not just at the mercy of the insurance companies, right?
Yeah, it's true. I get tired of this word transparency, which we hear so much in the government, but this is really what we were able to do. Able to understand where your true costs are. Most companies are okay with paying what our costs are. We just don't want to have to subsidize others. We don't want to subsidize an insurance company with their profits. We want to offer good benefits for our employees, and we want to pay a fair price. And that's what we were able to negotiate for.
So if I were to ask you for three tips or ideas or precautions for our listeners when it comes to your field, your employee benefits, what would they be?
First of all, I say that you want to start to understand better the true costs and expenses that your employees have. Once you can understand that, then you need to take a look at that. This is a little bit more of a marathon than a sprint from one year to the next year to the next year. Is that you want to start to put in place benefits. You want to start to put in a culture that understands that the healthier our people are, the less cost we're going to have for healthcare. Because healthcare is expensive on its own, and insurance just continues to throw money at the cost that we continue to build up. So you want to start to understand and move to a better and a healthier group. And then secondly, thirdly, you want to make sure that you have the ability to continue to manage and monitor and watch where these costs are and then take appropriate action, which you can, to continue to be as efficient as you possibly can. In a program that our clients and the businesses we typically talk to is that our benefits are in for a reason. We look to attract good people with them, and we look to hold good people with them. They have to have value for the money that we pay, and our employees need to see that too. And that's something, again, is a tip to take a look at. Make sure you're reviewing these constantly throughout the year so you can make the adjustments as needed.
Great information, Rhett. How do people get in touch with you and Beacon Path?
Well, they can email me. My email address is rbray, at beaconpath.com, or they can call us 949-716-9099, and my extension is 524.
Been a great interview and really great discussion. Thanks for coming onto our show, Rhett. You've given us quite a bit of information. I'd like to have you back someday. Friends, we've been talking with Rhett Bray of Beacon Path, and we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, my guest will be Audrianne Adams-Lee, so please stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.